This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta! It's the Dodgers. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Happy Friday, and we are on location at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and it doesn't get any better, right? An opportunity to make a wrong or right. Last year, for those who forget, we lost in Game 7 by one run. It was 4-3. We were this close.
I thought you were going to say we lost Twin Peaks because of COVID. No, I'm totally missing your reference. Because you and I haven't been up here together in a while.
I'm talking about the Dodgers.
Yes, revenge.
4-3 in Game 7, and we had a 3-1 lead. And Mike, now, I wouldn't want it any other way. I told you guys yesterday, it didn't matter if it was the Giants or the Dodgers. It's going to be the Dodgers. It's going to be Saturday night right here at Truist Park, Game 1, Game 2 on Sunday. And that's when we start the show tonight, guys, because we were waiting to see who's going to win this game, Mike, and the Dodgers and Braves are back in the NLCS.
Another nail-biter, another dramatic game last night, low scoring, obviously pitching at a premium. We debated, like, much of the 6 o'clock hour, the Dodgers' strategy. It obviously worked out. The Giants, I got to admit, there's a couple of things I thought that Kapler kind of screwed up last night, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it will be the Dodgers, and I know it's funny because you had all those numbers yesterday that said, you know what, even though we think of them as the big bad boogeyman, that maybe we'll match up better than the Giants, and it will be the Dodgers, and Scherzer looks like he's going to be number one starter. Can't wait. Because, again, I went and I bet on the com. I bought those tickets, assuming I would get to watch one of these games. So I got tickets to game two Sunday. I think it's 7:30 up at Truist. Can't wait, brother. Can't wait.
All right, guys. And we're gonna break it down. You know, we'll look at this series every which way we possibly can. Obviously, Georgia, a big topic today as well, as they get ready for Kentucky and game day there in Athens on Saturday. So we're going to talk to Chuck Smith about that coming up in about 15 minutes. But we'd love to see you out here. And Mike alluded to it. For us to be out here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, I think you came 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
Yep.
And Mike was out here, but this is the first time we've actually been here at Twin Peaks since the pandemic. And it kind of sounds weird now, but you're going back to 2019. Obviously, everything shuts down in 2020. And there were no live events, no live remotes for us. So we kept saying, we're going to get back to it. Well, today, it is a pleasure to be back here and to see a lot of the familiar faces, Mike.
Right, man. Got a couple of guys doing a business lunch. We won't name their business, but I got here and
I saw
some glasses with limes in it. I said, well, this is my kind of, I got this a liquid lunch right here. That's a throwback to old school Atlanta. So come on down. We do have our Hey Man Ale on draft. So I know we've got a keg that's just been tapped. Ice cold. Hey, man, they got the coldest beer in town if you're not familiar with Twin Peaks. So come on down. And just real quick, I know we're on speaker, but so you know the bartender, the short bartender?
Which one?
Right here, the cute little.
Okay, yeah.
I think she got some enhancements since we last saw her.
Oh, really? Appreciate you, man.
No, because I was, thanks, brother. What's changed about you?
She goes, it's my eyes.
and she literally kind of went, like did the shimmy, like, ta-da.
This is really?
Oh, I'm like, well, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Well, you know what?
Good for you.
But here's the deal. When women do get the enhancement, and by the way, whatever works for you.
But
women usually, all right, especially with other women, they like to show them off.
Correct.
They like to say, Susan, what do you think?
Yes.
Judy, how do they look? Right? So. I'm serious. My wife has a friend, and she's like, she just got the enhancement.
Correct.
And literally, they're sending pictures to each other. And I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, oh, well, she just wants to show everybody what they look like. I'm like, what
make
is,
that a, make that what, a group chat.
Yeah, what is going on?
So anyway, let's just give you a little of the sights and the sounds and the aesthetic here at Twin Peaks. So come on down and join us. Again, right off of Barrett Parkway. It's Busby, George Busby. It's right off of Barrett Parkway, off 75. Get out of the traffic and come join us and have an ice cold beer.
You're right. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line on a Big Friday show, guys. Find us on social media. Yeah, we're on remote, but we'll certainly be on social media as well. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And this radio station, 929 The Game. Follow us across all social media platforms. And, of course, we're on the gram because it's all about the gram. Hey, headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. Can I hear the Dodgers' final call? Because there was controversy if you didn't stay up, and it was late, as to how this game finished. And, guys, they'll talk about it from a Giants standpoint for a long time. They had opportunities. They didn't get it done. You got to give the Dodgers credit, but this is how the game finished last night.
0-2. Scherzer to Flores. Just outside. He went around. Strike three. Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. The Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series.
I guess he was really craving some sourdough and some Girardellis or something. I mean, look, I did have a vested interest in this. I bet the Dodgers. But still, to me, to have two of the historic franchises in a historic season where you got 200-win teams battling and have it end like that. And I was going to run around with some of the baseball nerds today.
Nerd!
Well, it's open to interpretation from the umpire. I mean, we've seen guys go further than that and not be called a strike in this postseason, to be honest with you. So, to me, it's just a terrible way for a really great series to end. Unless, of course, you're a Dodger fan. If you're a Giants fan, you go, wait, that's it? I mean, literally, if the rug is pulled out from under you, you know, like, we don't know what he's going to do. He might have popped out. He could have struck out again. But that just seemed, Carl, so not right for a game of that magnitude.
He went around!
Yeah, he went around.
Charlie Steiner's even like, what?
Because, Mike, you want to see either a home run, you want to see a strikeout. You don't want to see a guy or a team lose a series this important.
Right.
On a call that you can't reverse.
Right.
And so after the game, you know, they do the umpire pool, right? This is where basically all reporters, guys, don't get a chance to talk to the umpires. You get a pool reporter who gets to go speak to guys and basically the one spokesman. And afterward, the ump said, listen, check swings are one of the hardest things that we have to call.
Right.
And I understand that, but this gets back to, don't you want to get the call right? And, Mike, that's something that I think, you know, I don't know if anything will be done about it because it's in the rules of Major League Baseball. But the replay, to me, looked like he did not swing. He did not go through.
And again, there's so many things we learned this year in the offseason, or should I say in this postseason, that we didn't know. For instance, that pop-up behind the plate that was dropped, and then we didn't realize that wasn't reviewable. So there's a lot of things baseball needs to tweak. Now, again, if we're going to review balls and strikes, we'll be here for 17 hours. You can't do that. But something of that magnitude, you wish there was some other way you could get that decision right. Not the way it played out for the Giants. Hey, great season for them, but, man, gone.
Gone.
Poof.
Done. Right? After all of that. Right. That's why those get – listen, they'll get – they will debate whether these first round series should be seven games. They've done it for years. I always think that you get this far, you play all these games, and you're out in three. You're out in four games or five. I just don't know if it's enough. Nevertheless, we're going to see the Dodgers and what Dave Roberts did. And I'm putting this on Roberts. I know that Chris, our engineer, was talking about their general manager, Friedman, and, you know, it was an organizational decision.
Right, to not go with Urias last night.
But Dave Roberts said before the game that you can't do your job for fear of failure. And then afterwards, he was talking about, you know, your job, you have to do whatever you feel is in the best interest of your team. It worked, Mike, so you can't complain about it, but it was a risk. But when you got all those great arms, and I got to tell Braves fans this, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like this in our series where he starts from the back end and goes to the front, where you see some of the closers out of that bullpen, and then they go with some of the starters.
Now, again, there's more than one way to skin the cat, as we've learned. It's kind of now become more commonplace, but as they said on the broadcast last night, now to have a big market team do it like the Dodgers, a little different. I thought real quick, because I wrote this down last night, when Gratterall comes in the second, so Chris Bryant hits a single.
Yeah.
Yastrzemski's mired in a terrible slump, right? Bunt. Why don't you punt him over? He pops out. They get some hits. They could have had a run right there. To me, when your guy – just look, Yaz ain't hitting. Bunt him over. Get Bryant over to second base. I just thought Kapler, and that's just one of them, but there's some other things with the pitching staff. And, again, that guy has been up and down in the minors, and I know he was their de facto closer because of injuries.
Yeah.
But looked a little shaky.
It's funny because, like, Bellinger comes up with the tying, you know, the game hit, right, the game winner. It's a single in the ninth inning. But going into that at-bat, guys, he was 0 for 5 for 62 this season against the Giants.
So he was a guy that you weren't expecting to come through because he just hadn't had any success. So I don't know, Mike. You know, this is what we talk about. These guys that get paid all this money to go hit, and then they don't hit, but then they get in these situations. Right. You go, well, he's got to swing away.
But it is so funny how analytics is analytics, and it's so important until it's not important.
It's
when
true.
When you go with the guy, you spend there all this time, and you just count on him to come through. That's why I always say, like, there's a place for analytics, but there's still no metric for clutch.
No.
You can't quantify
it. Or a feel.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
I just think he's going to – I have a feeling that I've seen enough of this guy. He's going to come through for us. And it happens. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Let's hear from Cody Bellinger. He was the guy that was the hero last night in that moment for the Dodgers that sends them back to the NLCS.
Rematch with the Braves on tap. How does that sound, Cody?
Yeah, it's going to be another good one. It's not going to be easy. We played each other a few times the past few years, so we kind of know what each other's got, and we're looking forward to it.
You know, this isn't football where you're going to get fire and brimstone, you know, speech before each game, and you can use that emotion and go out and break somebody's leg. And I use that term loosely, right? In football, you can use that emotion and literally go out and physically try to put punishment on somebody.
Right.
Can't do that in baseball. Are the Braves excited about playing the Dodgers? Yeah, because there are a lot of guys in this clubhouse, Mike, who experienced that L last year and know they were this close to getting back to a World Series. But here's the good news. Last year they had home field. This year we have it. Last year we all wondered about, well, the pitching. Well, I got to tell you, I'm counting on the three guys, and Ian Anderson, not in this order, but Charlie Morton, obviously, and Freed, Mike, to get the job done. The bullpen has been solid. I feel better going into this Dodgers series than I did last year.
Now, last year, of course, we're in Texas because of COVID in the postseason,
That's right.
Which was a whole strange dynamic. There was, like, no energy. And, you know, a smattering of fans got in. But, obviously, you know, it's a completely different vibe when the chop is going here at Truist Park. Hey, for what it's worth, Bob Nightingale, one of the best baseball writers, says, pick the Braves in the spring training to win the World Series. And he's sticking with it. He says Atlanta over L.A. in six games.
Woo!
And he says Houston over Boston in seven.
Yeah, I have to agree with him with the Astros. I hate to say it, but I think they're going too. Hey, man, we're going to dive into Dogs, Kentucky. Chuck Smith's going to stop by. He's going to give us his opinions on what's going on up front with the Dogs and Kentucky, the biggest college football game of the weekend. It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. And we're going to talk some college football with our guy, Chuck Smith. Now, normally, guys, he comes on a Friday. We talk and chop it up about the Falcons and their opponent, and we get the rundown. And today we're going to shift gears a little bit because Chuck Smith knows a little something about college football, played big-time college football, of course, played in the NFL as well. And that's why you hear what you're hearing there with Rocky Top. Chuck Smith, what's going on, man?
Man, ain't nothing going on, man. I'm excited about this weekend, Tennessee versus Ole Miss, Georgia, Kentucky. And you know what? You notice something, Carl? That's the first time I've ever asked for y'all to intro me with Rocky Top. And the last time probably was in about 2006. But up until then, we haven't earned the right to come out with that. But it's, you know, good times again. Hopefully it sticks in Tennessee.
Well, you know what? They are playing better. There's no doubt. The game tomorrow I am interested in with Ole Miss. Because I want to see how they respond. Let's start, though, with the Dogs, because it is the big one. Two undefeated teams in the SEC, Chuck. And I want to get your thoughts, because one thing Kentucky is doing is they're running the football. And everybody's saying they're not going to be able to run the ball against the Dogs. Tell me what you see.
Well, number one, I think they have an opportunity. This is the strength of this Kentucky team, which I'm telling you is an understatement. These boys get after it. You know what, Carl? I love their slogan, nose to the grindstone. So that's kind of what they say. That's their mentality. But when you look at this offensive line, let me tell you what you notice. They play with heavy hands. And what that means is when they strike you, they're trying to get their hands inside. Because how it works with O-line, D-line, what the Kentucky offensive line is going to do, they're going to try to get their hands on the breastplate of Jordan Davis. That's the only way you can control him. You know, and when you look at it from that standpoint, like Devontae Wyatt, Trayvon Walker, even Jalen Carter, this Kentucky team is the best team they'll see with being able to drop their hips, put their hands inside. So this is the strength of a Kentucky team, and it is the run. You're correct.
Wish I had this debrief with Chuck before I picked Georgia to cover that 22. It is Chuck Smith with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Was it 23?
22.
Oh,
22.
Okay.
Locked it in early in the week, 22.
Okay.
We're live here at Twin Peaks, man. So, Chuck, I mean, the logic behind picking Georgia is all the things you said about Kentucky are true, but Georgia's just got so much more depth. They got 11 guys last year, 18 guys this year have got a sack. They're coming from all over the place. They've got, you know, defense in waves. So, in other words, the depth will wear down Kentucky. Kentucky will hang with them for a quarter or a half, and then Georgia will drop the hammer.
Yeah, and you know what? You make a good point. Listen, Georgia's seven players have two or more sacks, which is pretty phenomenal. It shows the kind of depth and the kind of talent they do have, man. But, you know, when you play games like this, the thing about it, when you are such a favorite like Georgia is, there is a lot of pressure on you. You know, really, Kentucky has no pressure. Kentucky is really coming in here playing with house money, Mike. So, to me, it's one of those things that you like, well, literally, Mike, house money. But, you know, to me, Georgia, they have to start fast. And a lot of people are saying Kentucky. No, it's Georgia. Because if Kentucky gets life in this game, it's going to be something else. But I'm going to tell you this, though. People always talk about the advantage you have in SEC Stadium. And people say, oh, I can manage it. Or, it's going to be okay. We're going to play loud music at our practices. Unless you've ever been on the field. And let me tell you guys, I have been on that field. And I have heard the noise. There's nothing you can do when you can't hear when you're talking face mask to face mask. Think about this now. Everybody that's listening, let me give you a real insight of a person who's been there. When you're in Sanford Stadium, when you're in Neyland Stadium, you're in Jordan-Hare at Auburn, when you're face to face with your teammate, when you're close enough to smell his breath, you still can't hear him. That's a different kind of advantage. Kentucky's going to come into a firestorm. Like, they think they're ready, but they ain't ready for this smoke.
Boy, it's going to be interesting tomorrow as the Dogs continue their quest to remain undefeated. Chuck, how much pressure being number one? When you are the number one team and you've got that target on your back now, and that's why I think you're talking about them starting fast because, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, it's no big deal. But you and I both know that the butterflies are different, right?
The butterflies are hugely different when you're number one. But let me just break down exactly what number one means. Number one means we got fans that haven't won the national championship since 1980. Number two, we got fans that have watched five-star athletes come in here under Mark Richt and now Kirby Smart, and we still ain't finished number one. Number three, what number one brings you, it makes everybody play that much better. It makes every mistake you make more magnified. It makes players change a little bit, too, now. I'm going to just be real with you now. They can say what they want. Hey, everybody wants to shine. So now, we're number one. Are you doing more NIL deals than I am? Oh, I got to do this interview. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, all the girls right now, the drinks are free downtown Athens. So what I'm saying is, with number one, there's so many little auxiliary things that you never think of that affect number one, that put pressure on you. So there's a lot of pressure when you're number one, but Georgia's a lot more even than football.
Big Chuck Smith with us, and that sounds like Nick Saban's rat poison, which you're referring to, Chuck. Just real quick, while we're talking about the SEC, Saban talking to the media today, and again, you just talked about motivating kids, Chuck, and getting people's heads right. Nick Saban saying, well, I guess people don't look at us as an elite team anymore. So, and we all know that's crap.
You're Alabama.
I know, but that's what Saban put out there, and he gets master motivator, Chuck. Chuck, what is different about Alabama right now? Is it just, I know we always assume they can reload, it's just guys are still learning on the job. Their defense just doesn't look like the usual Alabama defense we've seen before.
They lost the game. Hey, guys, the biggest difference is we're not used to Alabama losing, especially to a former coach under Saban. You know that legendary stat that's been broken. We're not used to anybody beating Bama, let alone a Texas A&M team. What makes it so bad, they look terrible. They were a disaster the week before. So from that standpoint, Alabama's younger. They've had a plethora. I mean, they've had more first-rounders than anyone in the game. So really, Alabama, actually, when you look at people saying what's wrong with Bama, they're really saying what's right with Bama. The expectations are through the roof because they are Bama. So I look at it a little bit differently from that standpoint, Mike, but I do understand. So it's not what's wrong with Bama, it's what's right with Bama. 20 first-rounders. Everybody in the world literally goes into a shell when Bama loses. The media guys can't wait. They couldn't believe it. So that's what's right with Bama. Bama is special, and Bama's still the top program in football, college football. And guess what, y'all? when it comes to the pros, when it comes to the hype, when it comes to the money, when it comes to all that, everybody get in line because there's no one really close except Clemson.
It's Chuck Smith, guys. If you're not familiar with what he did in college, he did play for the University, member of the 1990 SEC championship team. He was the SEC sack leader in 1991.
Amen.
He was he was first team all SEC in 1991 and started in the Sugar and Fiesta Bowls during his time there. So this is the credibility that we're giving you when we talk to Chuck Smith. And, you know, you go to the College Senior Bowl, and he was the defensive MVP, which obviously led him to the NFL. So a great and storied career there. Let's talk about the Vols real quick. You buying what Josh Heupel's doing right now?
Well, you know what? I'm buying with the foundation. I'm not getting, you know, goo-goo gaga over it. But I'll tell you what I am buying. A fan base that right now has something to cheer about. You know, a fan base that, you know, they have a lot of pride. And from my standpoint, I'm big on parity, and I talked about that last week. Whether it's Tennessee, Ole Miss, I'm loving what Texas A&M did. You know, I like seeing parity. I like Clemson has lost two games. I like Bama's down. You know what? I like Georgia's up because this has created parity. Now Georgia's number one. I love it. So as Tennessee's concerned, yeah, I'm excited about Coach Heupel. And let me tell you a little bit why real quick, and I'm not going to go real deep into this. He's just like a regular coach. I mean, not all that extra, you know, Champions for Life Foundation stuff, Mike, you know, that used to kill Tennessee on that, bro. Used to kill Tennessee.
The trash can.
Ball for Nike, the trash can.
The trash can.
Put Jones in the trash can. They stuffed him in it.
Hey, why is my school the one that took up a garbage can and when you get a big play, you dunk it, man? So, you know.
Now, Chuck, so we all go through these moments. Florida State had a turnover knapsack. Okay, everybody has their bad moments with motivating guys on the sideline. It's extreme.
Yeah. You know, I just like seeing a normal coach. We're not eccentric like Lane Kiffin. He's not on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? He's not brick by brick like Butch. You know, he's not like Jeremy, you know, Pruitt, the last guy. He's just a ball coach. And to me, I think Tennessee needed that. All that other stuff, let's just let this guy do his work. We don't need the wrong kind of publicity. Let's just continue to try to build a program and just do it in a quiet way.
Well, Chuck, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, bro. I'm glad we got a chance to chop it up with you with some college football. Chuck will be back Tuesday, guys, as we start preparing for the Dolphins. And we'll start talking more about the NFL as the Falcons come off the bye week. Chuck, have a great weekend. Thanks again, man.
That's right. Go Big Orange and go Dogs.
There it is. Chuck Smith, guys, helping us with some college football there. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And we'd love for you guys to come out here. Mike, as soon as I got here, Mike was like, they got the beer on draft. I was like, what?
Ice cold. 30.2 degrees. So come on down. Man, we got some of the usual suspects. Some of the dudes just kind of kicking it. I'm not sure if some of these guys are going back to the job site. If we do, I hope it's not, as we always say, Carly, load-bearing structure they're working on that might require some dedication and focus. But, hey, man, it's a Friday, so get the heck out of here. We got a lot of guys. Earlier when I walked in the bar, two guys were on a conference call with their boss, and they had the speaker on low on their phone. They're just literally like, who cares? Who cares? Talking to the bartender, doing their thing.
Yeah, we're here.
A couple of shots. You know, exactly. That's Friday.
We're here. Why is your Zoom picture off? No reason.
Exactly.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Jason Longshore. Atlanta United has a huge match tomorrow on the road. It's the start of a stretch, guys, that could determine whether not only are we in the playoffs, but where are we seated. We'll find out the latest from Jason coming up on Dukes and Bell.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think he's going to make the travel. Probably he's going to wait for us in training Sunday with the rest of the team, and then we will see where he's at on Monday.
Well, that's not good news. That's Joseph Pineda. That's our manager, Manager Pineda, talking about Joseph Martinez, saying, Mike, he doesn't think he's going to make the trip. And, of course, the trip is to Toronto tomorrow. And I just, you know, we asked Darren Eales about this earlier this week, and he was like, he's listed his day-to-day. Let's talk to Jason Longshore about this, because that's a good starting point as we talk about Atlanta United. And Jason and Mike Conte will have the call for you guys right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as Atlanta United continues its quest to get back in the playoffs. Six matches remain. And Jason, what do you make of that news, or at least what, you know, Pineda was saying this morning on the morning show?
It's not a huge surprise, because you've got six games here and Atlanta United needs to win at least three of them, I think, to get into the postseason. Three at home, three away. It has a little bit of the feel, honestly, of what the U.S. men's national team just went through, where they had two games at home, one away, and Greg Berhalter took some chances with the lineup in Panama that didn't pay off, but those chances were taken to try to make sure that he won the second home game, which he did. That's what this feels like a little bit. With Joseph Martinez, not 100%, you know, would he be able to give you 90 tomorrow if you played him? No, because he's obviously on the borderline of going. So would you rather have more of him at home on Wednesday, or use him for whatever limited amount of time that you have tomorrow and potentially complicate things? I think you save him for the home game. That's what makes sense.
I know that we have struggled, though, putting the ball in the net on the road. Obviously, that 2-1 last loss before we had the international break was really just aggravating, because it was there for the taking. But it seems like, we know, Jason, we're such a better team at home. So can the other guys step up? You know, we call them the scorers, for lack of a better word. Barco and Sosa, Moreno. Can these guys pick up the slack?
Yeah, I think getting Marcelino Moreno back is huge right now, because, remember, he didn't play in that game in Montreal. To have him back in the group is a really big help, because it does take some of the weight off of Ezequiel Barco's shoulders. And this is the time of year, we see this in any team, any sport, you've got six games left in your season, you're fighting for a playoff spot. If you get into the postseason on a good run, you can make some noise, but people have to step up. We know that Brad Guzan has been through this. We know he can step up. We know Miles Robinson has stepped up for the national team. We know Joseph Martinez is Joseph Martinez. Who else is going to step up? Who are we going to be talking about as maybe not a vocal leader in the group in demonstrating that, but who's going to show us on the field that they can put the team on their back a little bit? What we've seen from Ezequiel Barco this season, he's been that guy. Now he has the spotlight to do it on a bigger stage.
It's a great point. It's Jason Longshore, analyst for our Atlanta United, taking on Toronto tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on through and see us, guys. Let's talk about, you know, what you've seen as we've transformed over the course of the season. And we were talking to, I think it was George Campbell, Mike, the other day, and we asked him about Toronto, and he said he thinks they're a little different team than what we saw earlier this year. What do you think?
Yeah, Toronto is different than what we saw at the Benz, because that was a midweek game for them on a road trip, and they decided to rotate heavily and rest some players. They've almost went back to basics, Toronto. Josie Altidore is possibly going to be part of this match on Saturday. He's missed a lot of time due to injury. Alejandro Pozuelo is possibly going to be part of this match. He's been missing time. He didn't play in the last game before the break. But they went back to basics in two center backs in Omar Gonzalez and Chris Mavinga, who are veterans who have been very good players in this league. A midfield trio of Michael Bradley, Jonathan Osorio, Marky Delgado, who've played together for 5+ years. You have a lot of continuity there. You do have a lot of age there, and you have some older legs. And it feels like something that Atlanta United can exploit if Toronto does what, frankly, has been working for them. They've won three of their last four. They got a draw in the other one, unbeaten in four straight. Not normally what you see from a team in the next-to-last position in the conference.
It's our man Jason Longshore, guys. He and Mike with the call from up in Canada. Get your papers in order. And joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. We're live here at Twin Peaks. So, Jason, I know I asked you this. We're playing golf over the weekend. I was asking you about this. But
how was this game, by the way?
Jason, for a guy who's not playing a lot because he's busy calling soccer.
Sure.
Big hitter. Effortless swing.
Nice.
Effortless swing.
Nice.
Yes. Would you say that's accurate, Jason?
Take that. Thank you, Mike.
You got it. But we were talking about this, and I was saying, you know, we had such a run through August. And, again, some of that started with, you know, with Rob Martino, and then it carried over to Pineda taking over. And then but whether the international break, those road games, we know losing in Philly. It just I'm not saying we lost momentum, but all right, have we lost momentum?
No, I don't think they've lost momentum. That's what's so frustrating. I mean, we can look at this throughout the whole season, and we've had this conversation for months now, the three of us. They've been really close, really in every game that they have lost or drawn. It's been right there for them with the exception of the game in Chicago. One game all year where I felt like, all right, it wasn't there. They didn't have it that day. Outside of that, it's been little things here and there. On nights when they didn't play well, they still could have gotten a result. Some nights they played well but didn't get the result. It's been really close. The margins are just so thin. I think some of that's down to Atlanta hasn't been as good as we have hoped they would be. You've missed Joseph Martinez at different points in the year, obviously. I think some of this is down to the Eastern Conference being better than it's ever been and more competitive. And in a year where you don't have the cross-conference games, the conferences are beating up on each other. And I think the East is where you're seeing more of that, where it's individual small moments in games that are deciding results and I think ultimately deciding the table.
All right, Jason, six matches remain. Can we be a top four seed? We got to handle our business, but do we need help along the way? Because obviously that's going to mean we get a home match or we get home field for one of those matches. What has to happen in your estimation for that to play out outside of us handling our business? Is it just us winning out or we need help?
Need a little bit of help just because there's teams ahead. I think that's possible because without those cross-conference games, you've got teams that are just going to play one another here the rest of the way. So you're not going to see weekends where everybody in the Eastern Conference all picks up points at the same time because it's impossible. So Atlanta's going to have to win out, I think, to assure themselves of a home playoff game. It's not going to be easy, six games in 3 weeks, essentially, but everybody's dealing with that right now. I think the fourth place spot is a little up for grabs. Orlando and D.C. have been better over the games before the international break. They've been better than I expected in those games, so they're a little bit higher up in the table than I thought. Everything else has kind of played out about the way I was expecting. You've got some elimination games behind Atlanta coming up, like Columbus and Miami this weekend. It feels like if there's a loser there, it's over. If there's a draw there, it's over. But you're going to need Orlando and D.C., I think, to revert to the form that we saw in September and in August, where they were both struggling and dropping points, and Orlando's really dropped a lot of points on the road. If they continue to do that and Atlanta gets hot and wins a couple on the road, which they're going to have to do to get a home playoff game, then it is possible. I think everything up to fourth is completely up for grabs right now.
On paper, we should be better even without Joseph than Toronto, but the game's not played on paper, Carl. It's played inside your radio. You hear it on 99.9 The Game. Hey, man, so Toronto, then New York City coming here. We played them up at Red Bulls because their stadium wasn't available. And that was one of those games we should have won, Jason. And then we get Miami. And all right, so two games back-to-back, two Wednesday night games coming up. And we'll check in with you next week. Have fun up in Canada, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Good stuff. Jason Longshore. You think we can do this?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Why am I skeptical a little bit?
It's just, and by the way, it's not the team's fault. I mean, Joseph's coming off an injury, and obviously we've got to rest him for these other games coming up. But it just, because you have these international breaks, it stops and starts, right? It's like August, we were rolling, kicking butt. Braves were kicking butt, United was kicking butt, and then we had a couple of those road games, we couldn't win them, and then we had this break. So again, it feels like we've lost momentum, but Jason correctly says, no, we've got some teams we can beat if we play to our utmost. We got two guys on the U.S. Men's National Team, we got a good defense. All right, man, got to just do it. No Joseph, and no margin, and no margin. Jason says we can win three of these. All right, so I'll go by, he knows more about this than we do. But
no doubt.
So I still want to get that home. You know, playoffs. I mean, they took my deposit. I'd like to see it. Of course, my tickets are next year. I'm just saying that just dropped on the 15th. But anyway, hey man,
more money.
By the way, you don't want to know what I dropped on StubHub for these tickets on the brand. Did I swear off StubHub during the pandemic?
You did, because you didn't get a refund.
I know. You know what it is? Who else are you going to go to? Who else are you going to go to?
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
When you're stuck and you need tickets, right?
Right.
All right, man. We got plenty more to dive into, guys. NFL Blitz is on the way. These emails, we've been talking about it all week, and now there's more information about who was communicating with who and what was being said.
Uh-huh.
All right, it's on the way. It's part of our NFL Blitz.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.